a little bit. We'll circle back to Tetzaveh. We'll take it from there. Okay, Perachav Tes, Pasuk Mem Vav, on page Shin Mem, V'yodu ki ani Hashem elo kehem, asher tzisi osam e'eretz Yisrayim, l'shachni b'socham. That they should know, that they will know, that I am Hashem who took you out of Mitzrayim, l'shachni b'socham. Ani Hashem elo kehem. So what is l'shachni? The Ramban wants to know, what is l'shachni b'socham? So Rashi comments, and he quotes it, Al menas lishkon b'socham. Why did I take you out of Mitzrayim? Al menas, on condition, thank you so much, on condition, al tanai lishkon b'socham, that I will dwell in your midst. Okay. It says the Ramban, v'shimosh halamid b'tanai kazeh, einenu nimtza. We never find the letter lamed being used in this way. Lishachni b'socham means, where do we ever find that lim means on condition? Ban says the use of the letter lamed as a condition, we don't find that anywhere. And therefore what? V'yitachin shiyomar. Therefore, it's reasonable to say, v'yeidu b'shachni b'socham, ki ani Hashem Elokeim, asher otzeisi osam me'eretz Yisrayim, ki yedu kvodi ve'aminu sha'ani hotzeisi osam me'eretz Yisrayim. So perhaps more a reasonable explanation of the pasuk is that ve'yedu, you'll know when I dwell among you that I am in fact the one who took you out of Mitzrayim, because you'll encounter me, you'll encounter my presence by the Mishkan, and then you'll believe that I was the one who took you out of Mitzrayim. Okay. V'hu kederech Vayhi David lichol derachav maskil, ki vocher ata liven yishai, al asher merisim al pi lemei meriva v'adom lehem. Lim means so that, right? Not on condition, like the Rashi said, but rather, v'yadu, again, the pasuk says, v'yadu ki ani Hashem lokayam, you'll come to know that I am Hashem, who took you out of Mitzrayim, lishachni b'socham. How will you know that? When I am dwelling in your presence. Okay, fine. But then he quotes the Ibn Ezra, and here's the point I really want to show you. Aval Rabbi Avram Amar, ki lo hotzeisi osam me'eretz Mitzrayim, rak ba'avur ki ashkon b'socham. Hashem says, I took you out of Mitzrayim, and here's the incredible chiddush. I didn't take you out of Mitzrayim for you, I did it for me. Well, what does that mean? Hashem says, you have to understand, I really want something. If you ask a Jew in Mitzrayim, what do you want? What do I want? I want to not be a slave. So if someone comes and takes you out, you say, wow, that person really cared about me. True. But it could be that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim because of something that Hashem wants. And what's that thing that Hashem wants? It says, again, quoting Ibn Ezra, Aval Rabbi Avraham Amar, Ki lo hotzeisi osam b'eretz Yisrayim, I took you out of Mitzrayim only because rak b'avur ki ashkon b'socham. Because I want to dwell with you. V'zeu tavdunas Elohim al har hazeh. And that's what it means. Again, I took you out of Mitzrayim because I want. You know, the Gemara says more than the baby calf wants to drink milk, the mommy calf wants to express her milk. What does that mean? It means that the mother, when the mother builds up milk, right, it's painful for the mother. So as much as the baby is hungry and crying and thirsty and wants to drink the milk, wants to suckle from the mother, nurse from the mother also badly wants to be mashpia of that milk because it hurts the mother, the buildup of the milk. She needs to express it. So kiviyachol, the Kadosh Baruch Hu is the same way. Hashem says, I know how badly you want to not be a slave. I know how badly you want a Torah. I know how badly you want to have Hashem in your midst. But Hashem says, guess what? I also really want it. I want to give the Torah. Right? I want to dwell among you. So again, says Ibn Ezra, I took you out of Mitzrayim so that I can dwell with you. And that's v'tavdunas elokim al har hazeh. That's the culmination, like Moshe was told from the beginning. When is Yetzias Mitzrayim complete? When you get to Har Sinai. V'yofa perish. And Ibn Ezra has explained well. V'im ki yesh be'inyan so gadol. And this is a big secret. again, of how our relationship with Hashem works. Ki kafi pshat hadavar. Here's the key line. Because according to the Pasha Pshat Chevra, Hashchina bi Yisrael tzorech hedyot, velo tzorech gavala. The Shechina in our midst is for the sake of the hedyot, of the commoners. We're the ones who feel privileged. We're the ones who are so lucky that Hashem is willing to manifest in our presence. That's the Pasha Pshat. Lo tzorech gavala. It's not for the sake of Him. He doesn't need anything. The Chiddush of this Pasuk is that Hashem kiviyachol does need something. Hashem needs to give us the Torah. Hashem needs to dwell in our midst. Hashem delights in that. Avalhu ke'inyan shamar akasav Yisrael asher becha espa'ar. Hashem takes glory and honor from being with us. It's not just, wow, it's an honor for us to be in the presence of the King. Hashem kiviyachol says, it's an honor for me to be in your presence. I want to be with you. It's Hashem's desire. We would say it's our greatest desire to not be a slave in Mitzrayim. It's our greatest desire to receive the Torah. It's our greatest desire to have a Mishkan. And Hashem says the same back to us. No, it's my greatest desire, right, to be your God. It's my greatest desire to dwell among you. It's my greatest desire to give you the Torah. V'amr Yeshua, u'mata aseh l'shimcha agadol. Right? Mata aseh l'shimcha agadol. In other words, we're doing something for you, Hashem. Upsukim rabim bokim. There's many psukim like this. Iva la moshav lo. The moshav of Hashem is an iva lo. It's a desire for Him. It's His desire. Po eshev ki ivisia. Or how about the pasuk that says, "Here I shall dwell because I desire it." Right? Because of ha'aretz ezkor. I'm not sure exactly what he wants from that pasuk at the end of Bechukosai. But the point is that we should think of, right? Again, going back to the pasuk. V'yodu ki ani Adonai Eloheihem, asher hotzeisi osam mi'eretz Yisrael, lishachni besocham. Ani Adonai Eloheihem. Not that I took you out of Mitzrayim on condition that you're going to make me a Mishkan. You owe me. Not, right, simply, you'll know that I am your God when you see that I continue to spend time with you. But rather, no, I took you out of Mitzrayim, right? And what I want, lishachni, what I desire, I took you out, not for you, I took you out for me. Because Hashem says, because I want to be with you. Now again, of course, it raises many other questions. You could have taken us out earlier. You could have lived with us in a different way. Right? But we should realize that, again, when as much as we have to be so careful not to feel like, oh, Hashem, I'm doing you a favor by being a good Jew. Hashem is doing us all the favors in the world. But on a certain level, Hashem says, I desire what you do for me. I really enjoy it. You're fulfilling my will, my desire. Again, Ramban calls it a sod gadol. It's a big mystery how it is that I, Basar Vidal, as a human being, I can do something for Hashem. It's hard to wrap your head around such an idea. That's why it's a sod gadol. It's a big secret. Yes? Why couldn't? Why didn't Hashem, right? Okay. We have to look at it, you know, it's part of other parts of the development of the Jewish soul, and Achanami, right? Pasha Pshat, Hashem says, I don't want to build my space in the Tumah of Mitzrayim. Right? Well, why not, Hashem? You're infinite. We could have got into this relationship in a different way. So again, the whys are always hard, but the what is what Hashem is saying. Hashem says, I want you to know, I took you out of Mitzrayim, and what I want, l'shachni b'solchav, I want to dwell. I'm not just giving you permission to create a space for me. That's what I want. I want to be with you. Right? So when someone likes you, it's easier in a certain way to like them back. Right? So we should know how much Hashem wants to be with us. Okay. That's our piece for Parshas Tetzava. Let's go to Parshas Kisisa. Let's go to Perek Lamed Pasuk Yud Gimel. Machasis HaShekel V'Shekel HaKodesh. Ramban tells us, why is it called a Shekel HaKodesh? We read Parsha Shkalim. This past Shabbos, we read it again. Kisisa. Machasis HaShekel B'Shekel HaKodesh. When you find the page, call it out. Perek Lamed, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Pretty early on in Kisisa. What page? Shin Mem Gimel. Thank you. Machasis HaShekel B'Shekel HaKodesh. Okay. So the Pasuk says, Zeyitnu. This is what you should give. And then it defines the machasis ha-shekel, esrim geira. And Ramban talks a lot about exactly what the measure of a shekel is, but that's not what we're going to focus on. We're going to focus on why is it called a shekel ha-kodesh. Says the Ramban, Kavalo Moshe Rabbeinu Matbeya Kesef Yisrael. First of all, why is Moshe, you know, establishing a currency? Because that's the sign of a melech. And Moshe, right, we don't often refer to Moshe this way, but Moshe in a certain sense is the king of the Jewish people. Right? He Bishurin Melech. Right? Moshe in a certain way is our melech. Ki melech gadol hayo. Moshe minted a currency, matbeya kasev, he made money, because he was a king, he was a big king. V'kara lamatbeya hahu shekel, and he called it a shekel. What does lishkol mean? What does the shoresh mean? To weigh. Why did he call it a shekel? Ba'avur shekol amatbeya b'mishkal shalim. Because the value of the currency is only as true as its, you know, actual weight. Right? So if it's supposed to be, you know, X amount of silver, right? If you call it, you know, an ounce of silver and it's really half an ounce, so that's dishonest. So Moshe, by calling it a shekel, he was saying, my currency, the money that I'm making, the money that I'm minting, right, is true to its name. It's shekel. It is its weight. In other words, it's a matbeya, the mishkal shalim. It's a full measure. You shouldn't think that I'm telling you it's an ounce of silver and really it's a quarter ounce. Ein bo pachas v'lo kesef sigin. It is not lacking in measure, and it doesn't have unrefined silver. It's pure silver. So when Moshe Rabbeinu, you see the sensitivity, his honesty, right? If this is going to be called, if this is going to be the money that we use, so let's make it, you know, let's make it honest. Let's make it real. Let's make it worth its weight. That's why it's called a shekel. Okay. Uva'avur shemishkolei ha'arachin upidyon ha'bechor v'matbe'ahu shehim kodesh. And since the shekel is used when it comes to arachin, at the end of Parshas Bechukos Kosai, it says that if a person wants to dedicate the value of a person to the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara has a scale of erech, evaluations. It's not based on how smart you are, how rich you are, how good looking you are, what a Talmud Chacham you are. It's just based on whether you're a male or a female and how old you are. And there's different measurements that are spelled out explicitly in the Torah, right? Depending on your gender and depending on your age. So if a person says, you know, Erech Azriel Tzvi Alai, right? I take the Erech, I take the value of Azriel Tzvi upon me, right? So he's a male. He's how old? 21. Between 20 and 50. Okay, so the Torah tells us 50 shekel. Now, what's a shekel? This is a shekel. So why is it called a shekel HaKodesh? Because I just used it for a holy purpose. I used the money for a mitzvah, to donate to Beis HaMikdash. If I say erki alai, my erech, my value is upon me, right? We're in the same category, male between 20 and 50. Okay, so we give the same measure, we pay the same amount. So since it's used for mitzvos, since it's used for arachin, since it's used for pidyon bechor, since you use this money not just to buy pizza, but you use it for mitzvos, so it's called a shekel because it's worth its weight, and it's shekel hakodesh because you use it for holy things. Yes, sir.
You use a lot of things in the world. You don't call it holy. You don't call it like wine. You don't call it like the holy, like
Yain Kodesh.
Or anything, right? Any material thing that we use.
It's interesting.
As a kind of a mitzvah. We don't call it holy.
Right. What? Right. It's interesting that dafka, the money, right? The money, we call it holy. It's interesting.
Is it possible that
maybe because it was used to make?
Maybe it's because it's one of the bigger titles out there that you have to specify.
Right, it's such an avodah. Money could be such a big avodah zara that maybe the Torah has to spell it out for us.
So
I don't know. It's an interesting question.
It's very possible.
It seems like it's about
like a community,
a healing type.
No, that's probably true, but I'm saying.
Don't
do
that
with
the
eyes.
I
don't
understand
Ramah's
point.
It's
not
his
point.
You
like, oh, because it's
used
for
it's
take it up with the Ramah.
I don't know. It's interesting. You're asking an interesting question.
So just time travel.
Yeah, I knew I messed up. It's not 20 to 50. It's 20 to 60. Yeah. Something mental, you could say. Yeah, 20 to 60. It is 50 shekel. I got that right. But the age bracket is 20 to 60, and it is in Parshas Bechukos. So I got 85 on the test. Mendel gets 100. And we see that Mendel has good midos because he didn't want to correct me. But don't rob us of Torah. If I make a mistake, say you made a mistake. Say it in a nice way. I won't take offense. I make plenty of mistakes. I can assure you that. Okay, let's go weiter. So let's go further. So that's why it's called the Shekel HaKodesh, right? V'chein kol shiklei ha-mishkan. So those who said, well, maybe because also we use it for the Mishkan, right? V'chein kol kesef kotzuv ha-amur b'Torah. Any other time that the Torah mentions a particular monetary amount, it refers to it by a shekel. Yikra lo akosu shekel HaKodesh. Okay? So it is interesting. As much as we use money for a lot of things, right? Maybe first and foremost, the purpose of our kesef is to be able to serve Hashem. Okay, but then the Ramban says, I want to present the machlokas between myself and the Rambam about why Hebrew is called Lashon HaKodesh. It's very interesting, very famous Ramban, this one. V'chein atam etzli b'mash rabosinu korin Lashon HaTorah Lashon HaKodesh. Why do the rabbis refer to the language of the Torah as Lashon HaKodesh? So Ramban says, Pashut. Shu mipnei shedivrei HaTorah v'anevuos v'chol divrei kedusha kulam b'lashon ahu nemru. Because all the words of the Torah, and all the words of the prophets, and all Divrei Kedusha are spoken in this language. So, based on what we use it to talk about, Hashem's will, this is a holy language. This is Hashem's language. This is the language of the Torah. This is the language of the Nevi'im. V'inehu alashon shakadosh baruch hu yis'ale shemo medaber bo im nevi'o v'im adoso. This is the language that Hashem speaks with His prophets and His people. Right? From A to Z, all the words of Hashem are communicated to us in this language. Uvo nikra b'shmos of HaKadoshim. It's in this language that we know Hashem's names. God, as much as it's sort of a holy word, right? But that's not the name of Hashem. Kael is the name of Hashem. Elokim, Tzivakos, Shakai, Yurenhei, Vashem Hagodol Hamiyuchad. Yud Kei Vav Kei, all of Hashem's names are conveyed in Hebrew letters, in Hebrew language. Uvo Bara Olamo, it was this language that Hashem used to create the world. I told you, Hashem used the letters, Aleph through Taf, as the building blocks of creation. Right? Bereshis Bara S. The first thing Hashem created was S, Aleph through Taf. Those are the building blocks with which He made everything else. V'karash Shemos Shemayim V'aretz V'chol Asher Bam. It's the names, it's the words that Hashem used to define things, to label things, to name things. Malachav, v'chol tzava'av, l'kulam b'shem yikra, Michael, Gabriel, these are Hebrew names, v'lashon ahu. Uvo kara shemos l'kadosh m'asher ba'aretz. And not only did Hashem name the things above in Hebrew, in Lashon HaKodesh, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu used this language to name who? To name the people of this world. Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Shlomo, v'zulasam. So it's holy because it's used to talk about Torah, it's used to convey prophecies, it's used to define in a proper language the name of God, it's used to define the parts of creation, things of this world, things beyond this world, the names of holy people, that's all the Ramban. Says the Ramban, the Harav Amar B'Mor Nevuchim. But the Rav, right, the Rav, the Rambam, in his Mor Nevuchim, says a different pshat. Al tachshov shenikra lishonenu lishon hakodesh legavaseinu uletauseinu. Don't think that we call it lashon hakodesh as a sign of gaiva, as a sign of pride. Our language is holy. Don't think that it's a source of pride. Uletauseinu, or because of our mistake. Now I still don't know what that means. I was trying to figure out for some time and looking around. I don't really get what that phrase means. That we mistakenly, I don't know, I'm not sure what it means. I don't understand what he's saying. Don't think that we call it just simply as a sign of pride, or maybe we call it that, I don't know, for some mistaken reason. I'm not sure what he's saying.
Yeah, maybe just like someone called it that. Like,
What was that? What?
No. I think he's saying is that I don't come to the conclusion that we call it Shakosh because of Gaiva or because of some mistake I did.
Okay. I'm not sure what he means. Like, what does it mean? Like, don't think we call that because of some mistaken idea. I mean, is he saying they're on Bond's idea is the mistaken idea?
Yeah.
Okay, could be. Aval hu bedin. Right. In other words, he says it's not right. It's not based on any of that. It's just it simply is a lashon that is what that is kodesh, that is refined. The Ramban says it's bedin. It's justified to call it lashon kodesh. It's not based on some. But the Ramban's idea is not like so outlandish, you know what I'm saying?
Outlandish, but the reason
it's
okay. It's mistaken.
To,
okay.
Similar to his like Tamei Mitzvah.
Okay.
Just because Hashem
right.
said so.
Okay. So the So here's the logical, rational reason: Kizeh Halashon Kadosh, because the language itself, right? Not the ideas that are communicated in this language, like the Ramban says. Not the names of the people who speak this language. Right? But rather, the language itself is a very refined language. You know why? Because lo yimatzu bo shemos la'ever habi'ila bezachar obenekeva. We don't find an official Hebrew word for male or female genitalia, for the ever habi'ila, for the sexual organs. V'lo letipa ulashesen ulotzoa rak bikinoi. We don't have a proper Hebrew official word for tipa, you're referring to zera, to semen, to shesen, to urine, to tzoa, to excrement. We don't have an official word in the Torah for these things. In other words, the language itself is a very clean language, a very refined language. And if you'll tell me that we have the word shegel, he says, which seems to imply intimacy. So he clarifies, he says, no, shegel really means a person who is prepared to engage in a sexual act. But the word itself doesn't actually, you know, mean anything sexual. Okay? So the Ramban responds, he says, well, you know, I don't think so. I don't think that's correct. The Ramban says, skipping a couple of words, V'hinei ein tzorech latam azeh. Ramban says, you know, we don't really need this explanation. Ki adavar bar shalashon kodesh kadashimu. Because it's clear to me, this is not just a refined language. It doesn't have curse words, you know.
Isn't
official. The Ramban is now responding. He's saying, I don't agree with the Ramban. Right? The language itself is a very holy language, and the truth is when we start analyzing, right? And this is very much in line with the Ramban told us that the whole Torah from beginning to end is made up of Shemos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The letters really matter. The words matter. They're not just conveying ideas. The language itself is a very sacred language. Kamosha Pirashti, as I've explained, this is God's language. This is the language of Torah. This is the language of prophecy. And then he concludes by saying, and he says, and if the Rambam is correct, first of all, he says, I don't think he's correct. We do find certain words that are of a more sexual nature, even in Lashon HaKodesh. But if it's really, if that's what, that's not a reason to call it Lashon HaKodesh. He says, that's a reason to call it Lashon Nikia. It's a refined language. It's a clean language. And he gives some examples. For example, in Masechah Sanhedrin, right, it talks about a person reaching puberty. So it refers to it as he's growing hair both in his upper beard and his lower beard. His lower beard means his pubic hair. Right? But that's a refined way, the Gemara says. That's Lashon Nekiya. That's a more sensitive way to speak. Or how about the fact that the Torah itself speaks in a refined way? That Yosef HaTzadik was put in charge of everything in Potiphar's house, except for the food that he eats. Right? Ki im halechem asher hu ochel. Which Rashi says means his wife. He didn't put him in charge of his wife. Right? So, again, it's euphemistic, right, for the closeness, the same way that when a person eats food, right, so it becomes one with the food, so intimacy also brings together people. So the Torah has a refined speech, but that's not a reason to call it Lashon HaKodesh. That's a reason to call it Lashon Nekiya. Lashon HaKodesh, because it's a sacred language, conveying Torah, conveying mitzvos, yeah.
Did you say that it's a clean language because it's Lashon HaKodesh? Like the reason why we don't have those words and like those words weren't created because they wanted to keep that sense of refinement.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, again, that's part of it, but he doesn't... Again, this is classic Ramban saying, Rambam, you're cheapening it, right? You're making it not enough. I agree with you,
yes,
but it's not enough. Right. Yeah.
Does the Ramban even like says,
I don't know.
That's incorrect. It's more about refinement.
I don't know.
I think in terms apparently proves that I think Rambam is much stronger.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be really a machlokas. It's almost like the Rambam is saying this is really the level one. This is the pshat. And the Ramban's saying right, but there's
Rambam,
more than.
It seems like Rambam is missing Ramban's position.
So I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how much more he says there in the morning. I didn't look it up. Yeah, Asi.
According to the Rambam, do you believe that Adam, Noah, and Abram, if they all spoke the same language,
so again, Rashi, throughout his commentary, gives the impression that, yeah, this was the original language until Hashem mixed up all the languages. The original language of the world was Lashon HaKodesh, yeah. This is God's language, yeah.
How close do you think modern Hebrew is to Lashon HaKodesh?
I have no idea. What's in the Torah is Lashon HaKodesh, and then there's a lot of evolution of language, right? But there is a difference between, we have to know, right? That there is something called Lashon HaKodesh, which is the the essential terms and language that Hashem communicates in. So it's an interesting thing. A lot of food for thought. It's interesting because the Rambam actually writes in Pirkei Avos, in his commentary on Pirkei Avos, the Rambam says that you should be careful with the Mishnah says you should be careful with a mitzvah kala and chamura, right? Treat a light mitzvah like a heavy mitzvah. You know what the Rambam's example of a light mitzvah is? Learning Hebrew. He calls it a mitzvah kala. Okay, learning Hebrew is a mitzvah kala, right? So again, there's a value in having refined speech. Period. Speaking a language that has a more sensitive way of communicating delicate ideas is a value. Right? But the Ramban says it's so much more than that. Yeah.
Quick question.
Did
Ramban write Chidushei Torah when he was a very young kid?
Did Ramban write Chidushei Torah when he was young? I have no idea.
Okay.
Yeah, he definitely edits.
And he adds, he came to Israel.
For sure. For sure.
I just looked it up.
Did he also write when he was very young? I don't know.
Because I just looked it up and, the Rambam died when the Ramban was, 10 years old. So, I was curious if they, had...
I mean, I don't think this wasn't written and published and known to at that time. Okay, Pasuk Yud Tes. Let's jump to Lamed Yud Tes. Okay, here's a nice one. Very nice idea. Very, very nice idea. Okay, Perek Lamed Pasuk Yud Tes. Hashem tells us we should make a cure, and the Kohanim should use it to wash their hands and feet. Says the Ramban, V'rachatzu Aaron ubanav, Aaron and his sons will wash their hands and feet. Ha'rechitza hazo derach kavod shalamala. First and foremost, washing is a sign of honor. Why? Because the same way you would want, right, whoever's, you would want your waiter who's serving your food in the restaurant to have clean hands, whoever's cooking your dish, so we're cooking up dishes, we're serving Hashem in Beis HaMikdash. Right, so scrub in. You would want your doctor to have clean hands before he examines you. Ki kol akariv l'shulchan ha-malachim l'shareis v'liga b'pas bag ha-melech uve-yein mishtav rochetz yaldav v'avur hayos hayadayim askanios. Because anyone who's close to the king's table, who touches his bread, who handles his wine, right, should wash his hands. Because yadayim askanios, because hands are busy, hands move around a lot, we touch a lot of things. So clean hands is first and foremost, in a very human way, right? Again, you're not going to get Hashem sick with your germs, right? But the idea is that it's a sign of kavod, it's a sign of sensitivity. It's wanting to serve in a more refined way. V'hosif kan lirchot haraglayim, and we know that Kohanim would wash both their hands and their feet simultaneously from the kiur. They would bend down and wash their hands and feet together. Why are you washing your feet? Ba'avur hayos ha-kohanim misharsim yachefim. Since the Kohanim serve in the Beis HaMikdash yachefim, barefoot. V'yesh b'vnei adam sheyesh b'ragleim zuhama v'kiur. And sometimes your feet get sweaty or dirty. Okay, so again, as a sign of showing that I'm really serving before Hashem. I wouldn't come before a king of flesh and blood in an unwashed and unrefined fashion. Right? If I was serving a king a meal, I would want to make sure that my hands were we're spotless. So too, when I serve before Hashem. Okay. But then he says, Val derech ha'emes. Al pi kabbalah, I'll tell you something more, he says. Ba'avor ha'yoz rosh ha'adam v'sofo ha'yadayim v'araglayim. The highest and lowest point of a person, the rosh ha'adam v'sofo, the head of a person, and the bottom, so to speak, the end of a person, are the yadayim and the raglayim. Why? Ki ha'yadayim l'mal mikol gufo b'agbiosan. Because when you raise up your hands can reach the highest, right? And your feet are the lowest. So in a certain sense, by washing hands and feet, what are you doing? You're washing the top of yourself, and you're washing the bottom of yourself. And what you're doing, right, literally and somewhat metaphorically, what you're doing is, Hayadayim, again, are lamala, Raglayim lamata, Vehim b'tzuras ha'adam remez la'esar ha'sviros, she'akol gufo b'neim. It represents the fullness, right, of the 10 spheros that exists within a person. In other words, by washing my hands and washing my feet, I'm saying I want to serve before Hashem from head to toe, from top to bottom. My entire being should be in your service, Hashem. Ukamosha Amr b'Sefer Yetzira, like it says in Sefer Yetzira, and I've mentioned this one to you guys before. Karas lo bris bein eser etzbaos yaldav u bein eser etzbaos raglav. Hashem made a covenant between our 10 fingers and between our 10 toes. What's the covenant between our 10 fingers if we raise up our hands? What's the bris between my 10 fingers? It's my bris halashon, it's my peh, it's my ability to speak. Right? That's what he says here. B'milas halashon uv'milas hama'or. I have to be sensitive how I use my speech, and I have to be sensitive how I use my bris mila. So my bris mila is my covenant, so to speak, between my 10 toes. And my power of speech is my covenant between my 10 fingers, right? And I told you once before, again, 10 fingers, 10 toes, plus your mouth, and your bismillah is a total of 22, corresponds to the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. That's why the bismillah is associated with the os vav, and the peh is associated with the os pei. No, he's just saying, again, Sefer Yetzirah has this concept that between, right, if feet represent the lowest part of oneself, right, and hands, in a sense, represent the highest part of oneself, so if I go like this, between my, right, in between my two hands is my mouth, and in between my legs is my bris milah, right, so there's some whole structural, you know, self that we're trying to purify and sanctify. So therefore, we're asked to what? To wash our hands and feet as a sign of Kedusha. To bring my whole body in the service of Hashem. And this washing, Unkelis translates as a sign of Kedusha. It's not just a regular washing. Usually in Unkelis, if you look in Unkelis, let's say back in Bereshis, when Avram's visitors are washing their feet, you know how Unkelis translates washing? He translates washing as washing. How does Unkelis translate Rechitza over here? Verachatsu, Unkelis translates it as Vikadshun, Lashon of Kedusha. Okay, so says Rashi very astutely, you could see that this type of washing is not just a regular washing. This is a sanctifying. Interesting. It's for this reason that we wash our hands for Tfila. V'shiyaskavin lezeh ketam nesiyas kapayim. With this intention in mind, similar to, again, the Kohanim raising their hands by duchening, this is the reason Kohanim wash before they perform avoda, this is the reason we wash before davening. Okay, so it's all this notion of what? My hands are busy, my hands are now coming before the king, my hands represent sort of the top of me, why don't I wash my feet? That's your question? Because we wear shoes. If we were walking barefoot, we probably should wash feet, right? The Kohanim wash feet because they have to be barefoot in the Beis HaMikdash. I guess if your feet are dirty, according to this, one should wash their feet, supposedly.
What's dirty?
What's dirty? I don't know. I want to be clean before Hashem head to toe. If I'm such a tzaddik, I'll wash my whole self. I'll put my whole self in the mikvah. But if I can't do that, right, I should at least wash the part of myself that I can, right? My feet are protected because they're covered by my shoes and my socks. But my hands are also yadayim askanios. My hands are busy. Okay? Yeah, quick.
What's the cure in the... Was that the same, like the water that came out, was that like mikvah water that they were washing with, or is it just like regular water?
It was. I mean, it was. Yeah, I guess it was McWhorter. I guess
it was a stream.
I mean, it was drawn. It was. Yeah, it was a hole. They would lower it down and reattach. Right, the Kira couldn't stand detached overnight. There was a hole in the ground that they would reattach it. How did it work by the Mishkan? What was their water source by the Mishkan? Never thought about that. That's a good question. Anyways, he ends, he says, this rechitza is a mitzvah. You don't necessarily need to use a kiyor. On Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol would use a golden flask, right, as a sign of honor. But you do need to wash from a kli. That's what the Ramban concludes. We do see from the kiyor that you need a kli, but lav dafki, it's not a chiyuv to use the kiyor.
Feet also?
Also from a kli, yeah. You have to
you
pour it
do
from
one
kli.
On the same way that you do it.
Oh, how would they wash?
Your feet.
Well, when they would wash again, they would put their hands and feet, they would just put them under the spigot on the spot. How would we wash? I don't know. Alternating feet? I don't know. Washing for davening doesn't really require, the alternating is really only for Ruach Ra in the morning, but,
yeah.
Alright, interesting. It could be also just turning on the water and putting your hands on, there is also considered washing from a kli.
Right.
That's what the Kira was. Kira was also like that. Yes, sir. I'll give you one more comment, and then we gotta move, because it's super late. And it's my fault, it's not your fault.
Yeah, I was going to ask, is there anything about, like, how you can buy a ketchup
office? Yeah, for sure. For sure. Again, what exactly that is? Good question, but for sure. Definitely trying to put the crown on the king, so to speak. Kesar Malchus, yeah, for sure. But it represents really that plus everything in between. Okay? Okay, friends, let's do two more. Lamed Aleph Pasuk Beis. When Bezalel is assigned. This is very beautiful. Lamed Aleph Pasuk Beis. Okay. Thank you very much. Shin Mem Tes. Hashem says, Re'ei Karasi B'Shem Bezalel Ben Uri Ben Hur Lamati Yehuda. Look how I have assigned Bezalel. So we spent some time yesterday in Mor V'Shemesh learning about Bezalel. Let's learn a little more about Bezalel right now. Amar Hashem L'Moshe, Re'ei Karasi V'Shem. Look how I have designated by name. I've selected, I've appointed. U'Moshe Amar Li Yisrael. And Moshe, as we learned yesterday, conveys that to B'nai Yisrael. Re'u Kara Hashem V'Shem. Look, B'nai Yisrael, you should know that Bezalel has been selected. V'Hatam. What's all this? Why is Bezalel being given so much attention? You know why? Ki Yisrael b'Mitzrayim peruchim b'avodas chomer u'levena. You have to understand what a novelty it is to make a Mishkan. What type of work were we used to? B'nai Yisrael were doing avodas parach, backbreaking, schleppy labor with chomer and levena, making bricks and mortar. Lo lamdu meleches kasef v'zahav v'charoishes avanim tovos. Below row is some cloud. You have to understand, in Mitzrayim, the Jewish people did backbreaking labor. They didn't know the first thing about working in a delicate way with gold or silver or carving out engraving stones. They didn't know anything about these fancy stones. Below row is some cloud. They didn't know how to do this. They didn't have the artistic ability. It was something that requires a tremendous amount of training to make the beautiful, decorative parts of the Mishkan. It was a big chiddush. It was a big pella. It was a wonderment that someone had the knowledge, a chacham gadol, who knew how to work with silver and with gold and with engraving and carving, the stitching and the weaving and the embroidery. How did they know how to do any of this stuff? Ki af belom dim lifnei chachamim, lo yimatze baki b'chol ha'umanios kulam. Because even someone, let's say, whose specialty is working with gold, but he doesn't know how to work with materials, the fabrics, the person who knows how to carve gems doesn't know how to work with silver. It's very rare to find someone who's a master of all of these types of artistic craft. Va'yodim u'regilim b'hem. And even someone who has been trained in these things, you have to make sure that you keep up your skill. Bivo yadeim tamid betit v'refesh. If that person then, takes on a different job where they're working with what? They're working, I don't know, schlepping beams, building pyramids, making bricks with their hands in the dirt, in the cement, right? You lose the fine motor skills, even if you once had them. Lo yuchlu lasos behen umnos daka v'yafe. When you use your hands in a certain type of way, it becomes very hard afterwards to train your hands to move in a more skillful and refined way. So what a chiddush it was that someone, A, knew how to do this at all, B, knew how to do this in all of its forms, especially after an experience like a Mitzrayim, right? Va'od shehu chacham gadol b'chachma b'tvunu b'das lahavin soda mishkan v'chol kelav lama tzuvu ve'el ma yirmezu. Right? To not only know how to do these things, but to also know the spiritual content of them, the secret of why they were commanded, and what they're alluding to. Bezalel was all of that. V'lachein amar Hashem l'Moshe, look at this wondrous thing. Sheyira ha'pel hazeh, Moshe, look at this. I want you to notice. I want you to think about how incredible this is. V'yeda kihu mile oso ruach elokim, ledas kol eila, ba'avur sheyasa mishkan. I want you to know, Hashem says, that I filled Bezalel with the spirit of all these things. I taught him how to embroider. I taught him how to work with gold, with silver. I taught him how to engrave precious gems. I taught him how to carve. I taught him all of these things because I filled him with a spirit, a godly spirit of understanding, in order to make a mishkan. Ki hayaratzon milafanov lasos hamishkan b'midbar. Like we said, it was Hashem's desire to have a mishkan, not just our desire. Hashem says, I want a mishkan, here's how I want it done. And if it has to be just right, like we learned yesterday, with incredible precision, so then it makes sense that what? That Bezalel had to be given this godly wisdom. V'lechvodo b'ro, that it was created for Hashem's honor. Ki ukori hadoros meirosh, kederach. And this was, Bezalel was created to give this honor to Hashem. Right? And this was predicted, so to speak, from the doros meirosh, from the beginning of time. Kederach, like the pasuk says, b'terem etzarcha v'vetan yedaticha. Before you were even formed, I knew you. In other words, Hashem says, I made you with a certain talent, a certain ability. This is your inyan, Bezalel. Uvitarim teitze merechem hikdashticha. Before you even left your mother's womb, I sanctified you. You're cut out for this, Bezalel. This is your thing. Uvalashon azeh ru'u ki Hashem nosan lachem ha-shabas. Alkeinu nosim lachem b'yom ha-shishi lachem yomayim. In a similar fashion, it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what? This is, I gave you Shabbos and I gave you the 6 days of the week. In other words, time is meant to be used a certain way. People are meant to achieve a certain thing. The notion of a tafkid or a tachlis. This is what it's for. And that's what Chazal Darshan in the Medrash. L'arboseinu bazeh midrash. Chazal in the Medrash say, Hera oso sifro shel adam harishon. Hashem showed, right? Showed him the sefer. Showed Moshe Rabbeinu the sefer of Adam HaRishon. In other words, the book of all of humanity. V'amar lo, kol echad, his kantiv me'oso shah. Everyone is mitukan. Everyone is prepared from that moment of creation. Va'af Bezalel me'oso shah his hitkanti oso. Bezalel was prepared for this. This is his mission in life. Shenema re'ei karasi b'shem Bezalel. This is the name Bezalel. This is his essence. This is who he is. V'hu ke'inyan sheperashti. That's like I explained. V'od amru and Chazal further say about Bezalel. Yodeya haye Bezalel. Litzarif osios. Shenivru ben shemayim v'aretz. Like we learned yesterday. Bezalel, the Gemara Bracha says, knew the secret of the letters that Hashem used to create the world. V'ainyan ki ha'mishkan yirmoz be'elu. The Mishkan hints to all of this. V'hu ha'yodeya umevin sodo. And Bezalel was the one who knew the secret. Okay? So just notice, think about it, the fact, says the Ramban, that you were a bunch of slaves who didn't know the first thing about making beautiful, artistic, delicate, handcrafted, you know, objects and structures for Hashem. And yet, because Hashem wanted it, Hashem gave this koach over to Bezalel and he became it. Okay, last one for today. Unfortunately, we don't have enough time. Perek Lamed Beis is where the Ramban, it's all about the Egel. The Ramban, I'll just tell you outside, just so you know, the sheet of the Ramban regarding the eagle is that it was absolutely not an Avodah Zarah. It was that they thought Moshe was gone, and they wanted a new Rebbe. And the reason it came out like an eagle has something to do with Shur representing Midas Hadin, but it was absolutely, he argues very cogently that it was not, it was never meant to replace Hashem. They never said that the Egel is going to be your God, even though it says Ela Elohecha Yisrael. It means this is Midas, this is the manifestation of the Midas Hadin that took us out of Mitzrayim. Right? It wasn't a God who was Memis Machaya, the Ramban says. It was just, they wanted, in the words of the Ramban, Haimavakshin Moshe Acher. They wanted another Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe went missing. And he explains the whole conversation in Parak Lamed Bey is based on that. Okay, but just to conclude for today, go to Parshas Vayakel. We'll end with this. We'll make a quasi-siyam on Chumash Shemos. Parak Lamed Hey Pasach Chaf Aleph. Very much related to what we just learned about Bezalel, but with an even stronger message for us. Parak Lamed Hey Pasach Chaf Aleph. Lamed Hey Chaf Aleph page. Shin Samach Vav. Okay? The Pasuk says, Vayavo kol ish asher nisa'o libo. Perek Lamed Hei, Pasuk Hafal. Says the Pasuk, Vayavo kol ish asher nisa'o libo. Right? Everyone came, anyone who what? Whose heart was nisa'o? Was lifted? Anyone whose heart carried him? Continues the pasuk, "V'chol asher nadva rucho oso heviu as trumas Hashem." Anyone who had a nedivas ruach brought, but more than that, there were people who had a nesias halev. There's a generosity of the heart, but then there's a, right, that's called a nedivas halev. Then there's also this inyan of nesias halev, an elevated heart, a raised heart, a heart that's carried. It also means to carry sometimes. So what does that mean? Says the Ramban, a beautiful message for us. A beautiful way to end. Vayevo kol ish asher nesa'o libo. Al hachamim ha'osim b'malacha yomar kein. There's a difference between the people who donated and the people who what? Who actually helped with the crafting. The chachamim who were involved in the malacha, it says about them that they had what? Nisa'o libo. Their hearts were uplifted, were raised. What does that mean? Kilo matzino al misnadvim nesias lev. We don't find regarding the ones who donated, we find the lashon of nedivas halev, but we don't find the nesias halev. Nesias halev specifically refers to the people who are involved in the crafting. Aval yaskir behem nedivus. The people who gave, they're called nedivas halev. V'tam asher naso libo. So what does it mean to have a raised heart, an elevated heart? The people who are involved in crafting, the answer, you know the answer at this point. Ramban just taught us the answer. Ramban told us none of these people had training. Not one person in the Midbar had taken a class on this. They didn't have the skills. So how were they able to do something that they totally had no idea how to do? However, the answer is in one word, a very important word, a word that really takes us back to the root of creation itself, Hashem's desire to create the world. What's that word that begins Kisvei Arizal? Ratzon. Desire. Sometimes when you want something badly enough, you figure out how to do it. But I don't know how. There's a notion of Ein Davar Omid Bifnei HaRatzon. If you want it badly enough, even if you don't have the skill or the natural talent, you will find a way. Because it's that important to you. Says the Ramban, one of the most beautiful Rambans, and incredibly practical in terms of an attitude on life. Says the Ramban, "V'tam asher nasa'u libo l'karva el ha'malach." The reason that they experienced an asiyas halev is because of their desire to get involved in the work. Ki lo haya b'hem shalamar es ha'malachos ha'eila mimalami. There was none among them who had been trained by a rebbe, by a teacher, right? By a guide. They didn't serve as an apprentice in some workshop to prepare themselves for this. Omi she'imein behen yadav klal. There was no one whose hands were trained at all. You can't just sit down on a piano and start playing Beethoven. So the Ramban's telling you, but if you really want it badly enough, maybe it'll just happen. Now that sounds crazy, but it happened here. Hashem gave them the skills because they really, really, really wanted it. They found within themselves, within their teva. Because the truth is, the hands that can play like a like you know, a virtuoso, to play an instrument like a virtuoso, like a brilliant pianist or musician, right? Your fingers could also eventually learn how to do that. It's not that you can't. The potential for you to do that is there. Okay, so you're not that kid who, you know, at 3 years old, the parents sat down at the piano and trained him, right? And now he has 100 million views on YouTube, a seven-year-old kid playing these crazy piano pieces. So you're not that. But who says you couldn't be that? Who says you couldn't be that? You know, there's very interesting studies. I'm remembering now. Anyone here read, anyone like, what's his name? Malcolm Gladwell?
Yeah.
So, I think in Outliers, I think in that book, Liz are holding. So he talks about the 10,000 hour rule. Is it in that book?
Yeah.
The 10,000 hour rule. Right. If you practice something for 10,000 hours, you'll be an expert at it. Right. It could be. Now, again, part of us pushes back and says, no, there's a certain natural talent, right? There's a certain natural talent that a person has. Maybe. It could be. It's going to be hard to be a professional basketball player if you're 5'2". It will be hard. There's an advantage if you're 6'5". Right? But there's also the amount of time that you put into it is what you're going to get out of it. And maybe this notion that, you know, a person just has like a natural ability, maybe it's not 100% true at all. He talks there about how the Beatles became the Beatles because they would play in clubs for like 10-hour sets as they were becoming the Beatles. They just played and played and played and played. And eventually they figured out their style and they wrote, you know, some of the world's most famous songs. The greatest, you know, bands of its type. He talks about hockey players, right? It's fascinating, the hockey player thing. Remember that? It's fascinating. The hockey players that are a little bit older and get a little more, you know, playing time and get to play in different tournaments, different things, right? End up becoming, because they're just a little bit bigger than the kids they're playing against, they look like they're better, so they're given more training, and eventually they become the best. And they're all born from January to April or whatever it was, right? A very strange truth. But the more you put in, the more you're going to get out. Now the chiddush is here, right? L'havda, what the Ramban is saying, when a person has a ratzon, you can almost like, you know, skip steps. You could look inside of yourself and say, I know these hands could create this, but they don't have the training, but I need to do it right now, and they do it. Somehow they did it. That's called nesias halev. Right? That's called somehow tapping into and raising up one's heart in such a way that, again, aval matzah betiv, beautiful words, aval matzah betiv o sheyedu lasoskin. They found within themselves that they knew how to do it. Something that they'd never done before. But they've discovered it inside of themselves. Vayigba libo b'dvar Hashem. They raise their hearts for the sake of Hashem. Lavo lifnei Moshe lomar lo, to say to Moshe Rabbeinu, ani aseh kol asher adoni dover. I'll do what I need to do. You have the training? Nope. There's stories in the Holocaust like this. Of people whose lives were saved because they lied about claiming to have skill sets they didn't have. The Nazis said, you know, we're gonna kill everyone here. Is anyone here a doctor? Yes, I'm a doctor. I am now. Right? And you figure it out because you have to. Right? That's a tragic version of the same idea. But he says, I've written about this elsewhere earlier, but they came before Moshe. They said, I'll do whatever I need to do. So I want to just end just with a tiny little Pesach connection. And the Ramban, of course, ends off, he says, Hinei Nishlam Sefer HaGeula, as I told you when we first started Shemos. Right? This is, Ramban refers to this as the Sefer HaGeula. But I want to just end with one little comment from the Sefer Eish Tamid by Rabbi Yisrael Meir Druk. Yisrael Meir Druk was Rav Chaim Kanievsky's Chavrusa. He bundled Bin Chaim L'Chaim. Rav Druk Shlita is one of the very special and interesting personalities in Eretz Yisrael. So in the Sefer HaChumash, he writes about this Ramban. He's a very holy Jew who really sees all sorts of crazy things in the world. Okay? And he asks a couple of questions. The other place where we see this, he says, how did Avraham Avinu give himself a bris? He trained on himself? The answer is Hashem told him, give yourself a bris. I have to do it. It's too big of an opportunity to miss. So he figured out how to do it. But then he ends with just a Pesach connection. I'll end with this. It says that they were told in Mitzrayim, however, we're told back in Parshas Bo, right? V'yikhu lehem ish sel lebeis avo sel lebayis. Everyone should prepare a Karban Pesach. In Yana Diyom, we have to start thinking about getting ready for Karban Pesach. Okay? And on the 14th, on Erev Pesach, you should shecht it. Who should shecht it? Kol kahal ladas Yisrael ben arbayim. Everyone should shecht it. Right? We said here's the source for Shlucho Shaladim Kamoso. You don't have to shecht it yourself. You can have someone else shecht it for you. But says Rav Druk, I don't understand. Keitzer hitzlichu kol kahal adas b'nei Yisrael lishchot es pischeim. How did everyone know how to shecht the Karban Pesach? Chevra, shechita, I mean, sometimes you see signs hanging around the height. If you want to sign up for a shechita class. Right? But you don't, day one, you're not shechting, a Karban Pesach. How did Hashem just say, oh, by the way, everyone should shecht their Karban Pesach? I don't know how to shecht their Karban Pesach. Shechita means shechita. Ve'emasai heim nisnasu b'mitzas ha-shechita. When did they train to know how to shecht? The answer is, there was a shas al chach. They needed to figure it out right then. So they did. They did, because they needed to. So that's what the Ramban is saying. When a person has a burning desire to accomplish something, even if they're not sure exactly derech ha-teva, how they're going to be able to do it, if you want it badly enough, you'll figure it out. And that's a rule for life to live by. That's a really good one to live by. If it's important to you, don't say, no, I'm not smart enough to learn Tosos. If it's important to you, you will figure out how to learn Tosos. Someone said to me yesterday, and he's a pretty bright guy, and he's a pretty learned guy, so you're all going to say, you know, he's, if I told you who it was, you'd be like, yeah, I know that guy. He's a genius. It's very easy to call anyone a genius. Someone said to me yesterday, he said, when I was in Rav Schechter's Kollel, last year, in the afternoon kollel, and we had to learn 40 blot of Gemara with Tosfos. And he said, and for the first time in my life, I had seen every Tosfos on 40 pages of Gemara straight. And he said it was like an incredible breakthrough moment in my life because I never thought I could actually do that until I had to. I had no choice. I'm now, you know, learning in Smicha, and I was in the kollel, and that's what I had to do. So I did it. Until then, I didn't know that I could do such a thing. But I had to do it, so I did it. So that's exactly this idea. There's a lot of potential that we have that, for whatever reason, like we convince ourselves I can't do it. Ramban says, if you need to figure out how to make it for Hashem, if it's important to you, if you show up and say, Moshe, Hineni, tell me what to do, you'll get it done. Okay, so I bless us. We should be zochet to see that type of success in our life. Okay. Shkoyach. It's a really good Ramban, yeah. All right. Time is it.